Couple quick things. Again, you can leave early if you like. Feel free to, if you have a tight schedule and you just want to come for the breakfast and the fellowship, feel free to do that. I've got these forms at the table. If you're comfortable with filling this out, if I don't have your contact information, and I don't have an Amway business. So is Amway still going? Is that still going? Okay.
I think so.
I think so, okay. And then we have CDs of past speakers in the back, and I also have some CDs of another meeting that I co-host called the Norcross Fellowship Luncheon, where Captain Rainwater shared earlier this year, and that's how we connected and found out he lived close by here, and so that's why we have the privilege of him being able to speak today. Just a quick question. How many found out about the meeting from emails? Pretty much everybody? How about the sign? Anybody did the sign? Okay, we got one on the sign. Okay. And a friend? Okay, we got one. And then I guess the rest would be emails, right? So just as a check to see if there's some other ways we can get the word out. Again, this is intended to be a social breakfast to build community, and the area of you can invite people is really North America. So, but I put down here that you know, it's like Polo, Vickery, and the surrounding areas here, but. And we try to, as with my other meeting, we try to remain politically neutral. And also, this particular meeting is not specifically a religious quote-unquote meeting, which the other one I have is more of a sharing. But we encourage people to share their life story. And if that involves, you know, a key part of that's their faith, which it is for me as well, we're glad to have that. The info table I mentioned, if you, there are no candidates here for any office, right?
No.
Okay, I just want to check. We want to give people that are running a chance to introduce themselves. HOA, anybody here in the Homeowners Association? Okay, usually John Arand is. And no legislative or zoning information that would be of interest that you all know about. So these are just things that I go through. And if you have any prayer needs or whatever, I'll be glad to get that information. Again, this is not a religious meeting, but we do want to be available as the needs are here. So I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. And Tim, can you be number one? And you don't have to stand. You can just shout real loud. Here's the question. Okay. Where were you born? And... where were you born and when did you move here, first time? All right, if you've been here multiple times, okay?
So my name is Tim Hans. I was born in Salt Lake City, Utah, but I only lived there 2 weeks. So I was raised in Gastonia, Charlotte area, North Carolina. Lived in Connecticut, New Hampshire. And we moved here about 10 years ago.
Okay, great. Okay, let's go.
My name is Dick Eichbrin. We moved down here in 2015 to be around two daughters and six grandchildren in this area.
And where were you born?
Oh, where was that? In northern New Jersey.
Northern New Jersey, okay. Good.
My name is Andrew Cole, and was born right outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and lived most of childhood there, and then moved to New Jersey, moved down to Georgia about 10 years ago, and live right across the way over on Campground Road.
Terrific. Okay, Alan, you want to start this table here?
Alan Kemp. I was born in Dayton, Ohio. Spent most of my time in Dayton, Cincinnati area. Moved to Atlanta in 88. Originally in Fulton County, Sandy Springs, and escaped there and moved to Polo 4 years ago.
My name is Gary Tulesi. I'm born in Rockford, Illinois.
bumped around a little bit, spent 22 years in North Carolina, been here for 3 years now.
Great.
I'm Don Splinter. I was born in Freeport, Illinois, which is 20 miles west of Rockford, Illinois, and moved to Georgia in 1978, moved from the Chicago suburbs to Waycross, and spent a couple years there, and then moved to Rome, and then Atlanta, and my wife and I moved here 7 years ago. So.
Okay. All right.
My first name is Steve, last name is Meneer. I was born in Sterling, Illinois, so you probably know where that is. And my wife and I moved down here 10 years ago from the Chicago area, and we've been in Polo 3 years now.
We do everything.
And Doug, you want to tell?
Oh, Alpharetta, home alive. Okay, so, but Pop is from Sterling, Illinois.
No kidding.
I mean, that's a small world.
It is.
It's
a small town.
It is a small town. It hasn't grown any since we've been married for 34 years.
No, it's actually shrinking. It's kind of sad.
Well, that's
so you were born and raised here?
Alpharetta, yes.
Awesome, awesome.
Moved up to Forsyth County, 93.
Awesome. And I'm Heinz Wegener. I was born in Germany, a little town called Yesterburg. Came over when we were 4 years old and moved to Atlanta in 1972 when I worked with Scientific Atlanta. And when I went to interview here, it was the first time I was south of Indianapolis, so we didn't travel a lot. But, okay, I'm going to introduce our speaker. Our speaker is Captain Doug Rainwater, Executive Officer with the Office of Professional Standards, Forsyth County Sheriff's Office. Captain Rainwater started his law enforcement career with the Fulton County Police Department in 1980, working primarily in the Sandy Springs area, Alpharetta, and Johns Creek. During this time with Fulton County, he was assigned as a detective to the GBI's narcotics unit working the city of Atlanta, where he oversaw the field training program at the North Precinct training recruits. In 2007, he retired from the force as a lieutenant and became director of security for First Redeemer Church for 2 years. The position still holds part-time today. In 2009, he became a deputy with Forsyth County Sheriff's Office and has been assigned to the Courthouse Community Relations Public Information Office officer the last 13 years. And he is now the Executive Officer of Sheriff Freeman. Captain Rainwater is currently assigned to the Office of Professional Standards, which includes internal affairs, open records, recruitment, and background. And Captain Rainwater did speak at the other luncheon I held, the Norcross Fellowship luncheon. And he lives close by, so you live in North America, right?
I do.
Please welcome Captain Doug Rainwater.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not getting standing behind the podium. So, like I said, I've been in law enforcement my whole life. When I was growing up in Alpharetta, every time I saw a Fulton County police car or a City of Alpharetta police car, I would just stand there and stare at it. Mm-hmm. So I went to Kennesaw College with a criminal justice degree. I didn't graduate because I wanted to be a cop so bad. So I applied to Fulton County Police. They've never hired anybody in terms of no experience. But just so happened in 1980, they hired six of us to go to their first academy. So I left college, became a cop. Here I am. Mm-hmm. I have loved every moment. Fulton County Police was 27 great years. The last 13 years, 14 with Forsyth County has been wonderful. I mean, law enforcement is my passion. My son-in-law is actually now a Forsyth County deputy sheriff. He's in one of our schools. Because every school in Forsyth County, as we know, has a school resource officer assigned to it. So, law enforcement is my career. But besides that, the main thing in my life is Jesus.
Amen.
I don't have many of those earth-shattering stories to tell you about my walk with Jesus. But I will tell you that from a very early age, my mother and daddy, they drug me and my two sisters and my brother to Alpharetta First Baptist Church. Drug us. But thank goodness they did. I thank the good Lord all the time that my parents were that dedicated. So from a very early age until 12 years old, I was in Sunday school. almost every Sunday. I heard the stories about Jesus. I heard the stories about all the wonderful things that Jesus did on this earth, how God created this world. But I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I knew that. It was all in my head. I knew him well in terms of all the things that I read about. But back in the day, in Alpharetta First Baptist, they would have this thing called a revival once a year, which I wish they would bring that back, but I think it's gone with the wind. So when I was 12 years old, my dad, at night, he would carry me up to the revival. And like the third night, I forget the preacher, but it was some country preacher that God used him that night. And I had already started getting convicted so many weeks before that I know Jesus, but I just don't know Jesus. I know Jesus, but who is Jesus? He did all those miracles. But, well, that night, that tug, I can't explain it. It wasn't fireworks or anything like that. It was just that personal moment when your whole body and your mind feels that peace. And that's the night I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, 12 years old. And I remember I was so excited. I was inviting my aunts and uncles to watch me get baptized. I mean, it was a moment for me. And I'll never forget that because my sister actually was there that night. And she kept a bulletin from Alpharetta First Baptist Church of the night that I was saved. And in our family, we like to look back on those days at that moment. So 12 years old, I've always kept my very close-knit friends in Alpharetta. All of us were saved. We didn't really do anything stupid. I will tell you this. 1980s, I don't know how many of you, all of you, maybe you did. The 1980s were different. So I had some rough years in the 80s just because of how life was as a young Fulton County police officer, single. So I survived the 80s. And I met my wife in 88. We got married in 89 from Sterling. Mm-hmm. That's a small world. Mm-hmm. From that marriage, we have two beautiful girls. Beautiful girls. They're both married now. Bella just gave me my first grandbaby a year and a half ago. She's pregnant with my second one in November. We live here locally. They live here locally. My other daughter, she just got her master's degree from Georgia State 2 weeks ago. She's married. She got married in December. So everybody's here. My two son-in-laws are very good men, very Christian men. Of course, my daughters are. We took them to church. We made them go. But that's the story that I'm leading up to. In the 90s, me and my wife were pretty content. You know, we just bought a house up here. Bella was born in 95. We kind of got away from going to church. We got away from just reading the Bible, sharing with other Christians. We just pretty much lived our life like we wanted to live our life. We would wake up late on Sunday mornings. But my mother in Alpharetta always said, you got to get that baby in church. Mm-hmm. Doug, you got to get that baby in church. But we didn't. Fulton County Police, 1999, 1997, it was February. I just dropped off Bella at a daycare school off Atlanta Highway, jumped on 400 at McFarland. Back then, I could take my Fulton County Police car home because I was assigned to a special unit. Well, driving down 400, I heard this radio traffic that a bomb had just exploded on Carpenter Drive in Sandy Springs at an abortion clinic. Hmm. Well, you know, let's go. I've never seen a bomb explode before. I've never seen the aftermath of a bomb. So I take off to Sandy Springs. Everybody goes to the abortion clinic. Of course, the bomb did explode at the back door of this abortion clinic on Carpenter Drive. So me and about 30 other cops, about 30 other firemen, we were just everywhere in this parking lot, completely surrounding this. It was an office building. The abortion clinic was in the backside of it, so nobody would know that they were there. Well, Eric Rudolph, remember that name? Mm-hmm. He knew the abortion clinic was there. So that morning, it was a Thursday, he planted a pipe bomb the back door of the abortion clinic in Sandy Springs, 1997. He didn't really care about that pipe bomb at the back door of this abortion clinic. He did care about doing some damage to it so they couldn't open up. What he cared most about was that pipe bomb that he placed in a dumpster near the road. The same dumpster near the roadway on Carpenter Drive is where we were gathered. There's about 10 of us, police officers, a bunch of firemen. We're just walking around, talking. So as we're standing there, I don't know if this... Some ways I think this fire official that came up to me, because after this, I have never been able to track him down after this bomb exploded. But this man, a fireman, came up to us and said, "You know what? Y'all are mighty close to this building. Why don't y'all step back beyond the roadway, other side of the roadway?" And we all looked at him, and you know, the fire department, once they get to a scene, they're in control. So, you know, a bunch of us cops, well, okay, we'll walk back over there. That's fine. So we walked across Carpenter Drive, 24 feet. We were literally standing at the dumpster. I got 24 feet across the road on Carpenter Drive, and all of a sudden, my ears pop, the sound of another bomb going off. It was inside the dumpster. He had put a second bomb in that dumpster to kill us, first responders. You might get a day's worth of news coverage if you just bomb a abortion clinic. You'll get a week worth if you kill six or seven first responders. And that's what he was trying to do.
Wow.
This was after the Olympics, of course. And nobody knew it was Eric Rudolph that did the Olympics at that time. So he was trying to kill as many people as we could, as he could. My story is this. I'm standing there on Carpenter Drive on the edge because I still want to be close to everything because I'm just curious. I like things like that. That's, I guess, the reason I'm a cop. Guys, the smoke goes up, and I could see the smoke leaving the dumpster like this, but I could hear things. I could hear things hitting the ground. He had put enough nails in that pop bomb to sink a ship. I could hear things hitting the asphalt around me. After everything was said and done, and we're just standing there going, I looked down, I got pictures of this. There are nails implanted in the hard asphalt all around me. There's 2 feet where I'm standing, not one nail. One nail in my head, I would be dead. I'd have a tombstone in Alpharetta right now. But here I am standing, not one nail hit. Once again, I could never find that fire official that told us to move back, to thank him. I went home that next day. It was a very busy day, and a lot of things happened. But I went home, looked at my wife, my little baby, and said, "Nope, it's not going to happen this way. I want to be that father I should be." That little Bella, 2 years old, we're going to church on Sunday. We're going to find us a church close to home. Well, Sterling, Illinois, my wife had already scheduled a trip to her in-laws, her parents. I just couldn't go. So they flew up to, I think it's one of those little small airports, Tri-Cities somewhere.
Quad Cities.
Yes, they flew into that airport on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So they're up there. I'm by myself. Sunday morning, I'm thinking, I told the good Lord, I thanked him for saving my life and that I was going to get my family back in church. And I was going to get back in church. So I went to Midway United Methodist Church that Sunday by myself. I didn't know where else to go. I didn't want to go back to Alpharetta First Baptist because that was just, at that time, a long way to go. So I went to church that Sunday. My wife came back like that Monday, Tuesday from Sterling. I told her, well, this Sunday, guess where we're going? Guys, that was 97. The only days that I've missed not being in church on a Sunday since then and worshiping my Savior is if I'm sick. All those years, I neglected the good Lord. I have no doubt He used this to bring me back. because I had no interest back in 96, 97 to put my little daughter in church. So we went to United Methodist Church for about 8 years. That served a very good purpose. But then we started going to First Redeemer Church. And within a year, First Redeemer Church, both my daughters, well, my other daughter was born in 98. So, fast forward, First Redeemer Church, 2005. Because we put them in Sunday school and they heard the word, both my daughters were saved. My wife was saved. She thought she was a Christian. She grew up in Episcopal Church in Sterling, Illinois. Mm-hmm. She thought she was saved, but after hearing the word at this Baptist church, she decided, I'm not saved. Mm-hmm. So she was saved. Three people were saved. I rededicated my life to Jesus because a bomb went off and I almost died. Mm-hmm. And I was going to have no more of that. And my testimony is that God gave me a second chance. And I can recount, I know we got pressed for time, but I can count probably 20 different occasions in Fulton County that he saved me on numerous occasions with guns pointed at me. For whatever reason, they didn't shoot me. For whatever reason, I had my gun pointed at people. And right at that moment, I'm about to pull the trigger, they dropped their gun. So many occasions, at least 20, that the Lord brought me through all those different things in law enforcement. Some people say, well, do you ever get scared? I do. I get scared all the time. I don't like walking into your house if your back door is open on an alarm call. I don't like that a bit, but I do it. Because I know the good Lord, this is not my home here. Heaven's my home. He's going to protect me until that day that he decides it's time to come home. My brother-in-law taught me this verse. My first year in Fulton County, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And I repeat that so many times even today. And different things that happen in my life that he doesn't. He hasn't given us that spirit of fear. But he's given us power, love, and a sound mind to make it through it. And for 42 years in law enforcement, folks, I've used that verse and many more to get me through certain things. I'm just sometimes ashamed that it took a bomb. It took nails flying around me to get me back on track. But it did. And now, because of all that, I'm being able to play with a 16-year-old grandbaby now. And, you know, that baby's in church too. I mean, that's, if you're in my family now, you're taking somebody to church on Sunday. It might not be First Redeemer. I don't care. But you're going to church somewhere. And that child, when it's time for them to make that decision, they're on their own there. But you're going to hear the word. You're going to hear that the good Lord, Jesus, is the only hope that you have in this life. Only hope. And the more I think about the alternative, and I got a lot of friends that aren't saved, and it hurts me because I think, I'm going to heaven. That makes my day. That I know I'm good. Something should happen when I leave here. I'm good. But my friends, I'm thinking, hell for eternity. Burning. I believe that with all my heart. We have a choice. I made a good choice when I was 12 years old. The Lord brought me back in 97 to continue that good choice I made back then. That's my story.
Any questions? No. Done?
You say you've been in and out of situations. And you attribute your success, a lot of it, to being a Christian.
I do.
What portion of it is training?
Training is 90% to everybody across the board, Christians or non-Christians. You got to be trained because training is like I said, 90% of our job. To know what to do when the time comes and not have to think about it. That's so important. But for Christians in law enforcement, it gives us that added benefit of that confidence that we have, that we've been trained, we're doing the right thing, we know what we're doing it right. But it gives, in law enforcement, it gives us Christians that peace. I've been with deputies before, going in houses, possible barricaded gunmen, whatever the case may be. And we go in there, we take the bad guy out, we put handcuffs on him, especially some guy holding his wife hostage in the back bedroom. I walk out, the bad guy's in handcuffs. I'm looking like this. I'm scared, yes. But these other officers in Fulton County, they're sweating. They're shaking. They're not at peace. I'm at peace. Even though we just went through that, so many times I remember one incident real quick. South Fulton County, I was assigned there for a while, and we were about to go into a house and try to get the husband out because he was holding his wife. He had a knife. I remember me and a group of officers stood in this roadway, and we prayed. That's a rarity. We prayed right there before we went to that house. It just so happened that all of us were Christians. But I've been in other situations where we didn't pray. We go in there and take care of the bad guy and bring him out. I'm pretty much like this. Yeah, I'm scared. But God has given me that peace to know that I'm okay. I'm good. If it's my time, it's going to be my time. These other officers, these deputies, the non-Christian ones, you could wring their shirts out with sweat. And in some cases, it took some deputies and some officers hours and days to get over certain situations. For me, my quiet time, I give it to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I do. I'm no better than them. The hope I have is that I have a Savior that I can go to, and He can give me peace during any situation. He doesn't always give me peace at that moment. But when I finally get away from that, I can go to my little quiet time, my little chair in the basement that I have, just mine. Everything's okay. And I'm not above in a bad situation calling the name Jesus out verbally, out loud. When I need Him, I'll say His name in a heartbeat. And that's just my 42 years. So...
Anybody else? Question? One, would you share your specific duties these days?
I got promoted to captain in November. I was already working internal affairs. If you complain about a deputy, it comes to me. Most of our complaints in Forsyth County are, and people don't agree with our policies. They don't think the deputy did the right thing, so I call them back. And in some cases, they come in and make a complaint written down. And we have some deputies that make bad decisions. Now, I'm going to have to fire one next week because him and alcohol just is not us. Mm. So I investigate our deputies whenever there's a complaint, either from a supervisor or from a citizen. So my job is to... I tell people now in Forsyth County Sheriff's Office, before me and all the deputies, there's 500 employees. Not all are deputies. A lot of civilians. We got 120 deputies at the jail alone. But before, Doug Rainwater was just that sergeant, whatever, everybody's friend. Then I go to internal affairs a year and a half ago as a sergeant. Now nobody talks to me. My true friends, they still hang out with me. But people, they almost walk the other way. Mm. And the last thing anybody wants to hear is, you got a call from Doug Rainwater. You either come to headquarters and do a statement or you're in trouble. So because of that, it's different. But I like it because so many times now, we have a lot of people that the last 3 years, they call us to complain on these deputies just to get them in trouble, knowing the deputies didn't do it.
Wow.
A lot of racial stuff. So, thankfully, we have body cams now. And one of the greatest things that I enjoy doing is taking somebody's complaint that this deputy did this, that, and that on a traffic stop. While I'm talking to that complainant on the phone, I'm literally watching the body cam of that deputy. And I'm able to counteract almost everything that person's telling me. At the very end, I tell that person, well, while we were talking, I watched the body cam. I can't see all that stuff that you're claiming this deputy did. Would you like to come in for a statement? But remember this, if you make a statement against one of my deputies to get him in trouble or to get him fired, and it's, if that statement is false, we're going to charge you. We're going to put you in jail. So that's the reason I enjoy this job, is to prove people wrong. The bad part of the job is when citizens do call our supervisors and the deputy has done something wrong, we still got to take care of that too. Mm-hmm. And next week, you know, when this deputy comes in, I know his insurance is with us. He's got kids. He's the sole breadwinner of his family. That hurts. Hurts me a lot. But we have to do it. My job is basically now keeping the integrity of the sheriff's office intact, so nobody can ever claim that we're whitewashing bad officers or bad deputies. We don't fire many. When we do, it's pretty quick.
I have a question. So if you have, for instance, somebody that has an addiction problem, alcohol, drugs, or whatever, are they allowed to rehabilitate?
They can. Problem is you have to come to us first. If you've got a drinking problem, we don't really have hardly any drug cases. I'm sure there's some deputies out there that might have some issues with that, prescriptions. But most of ours is alcohol. You come to us and say, hey, I got a drinking problem. We will put you in a 30-day in-home care center. We will get you the help you need. Our insurance is quite good. Plus, the county has a company they use for drug addiction, alcohol addiction. We will take care of you. We'll bring you right back to your status as a deputy. But if it gets to the point where you've done something while intoxicated that's bad, it's too late. We will try to, before we dismiss you, we will give you all the means you need to go into some type of rehabilitation center. The county will pay for it, but you're no longer with us, because your actions were so stupid that we can't take a chance again for you to be a deputy. And that's the case next week. Well, his actions were so outrageous that sometimes you can't give somebody a second chance. You can help them, even though they're no longer with us. But yes, any time that we think a deputy is going down that road, we will have supervisors go up to them and say, you know, one-on-one, you're acting different, everything good at home, is it bad at home? And several times we found out that deputy's going through a divorce, and they drink every night. But once we bring that to their attention and offer them help, most take our help. So we do. We watch our deputies very closely, because we don't get that much. Now we get paid pretty good. We do. But before, we didn't. And pressures of raising a family on our pay, alcohol, just all that. So
are your supervisors trained in behavioral observation?
They are. We have classes.
Okay.
We have training just for supervisors to recognize the mood swings of a deputy working night shift or day shift, calling in late, coming into work, the face is all red constantly every day. That would mean too much alcohol. So we do. We approach our deputies if we believe there's an issue. Mm-hmm. When it gets to the point where they embarrass us, that's when, you know, I'm the last resort. I'm the last one they want to see.
Is there, if somebody does have a complaint, what's the proper way to make that known?
Oh, we got, you can go to any of the precincts, headquarters. We have a website you can make a complaint on. which is good or bad. Most of our crazy complaints from citizens that don't live here, they go to the website. Oh, well, this deputy, you know, it's a regular traffic stop last week, but they add about 10 things to it. So it's easy now for people that don't live here in Forsyth County to make a complaint from their house in Athens or Macon. And every time, you know, they make a complaint, we kind of really investigate it carefully to make sure that deputy didn't do that. So, but it's almost too easy. They can go on our Facebook page and go, I need to talk to somebody about an officer's behavior. We open it to everybody. I mean, there's no way that you will ever be told, I couldn't get to that place where I can make a complaint. You pick up the phone. Call us. I'll put a sergeant on the phone with you, and he'll write everything out. So,
is that for other counties, too, or is that
specific? Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Because I had a young man that had a got a ticket for, I think, holding his phone. And anyway, I probably was more to it. One quick thing before we go. What time is it?
It's almost 9:30.
Okay. What's the, other than the nails, what's the other closest call you had?
Well, one out in Fulton County on Hammond Drive, we get a call of a drunk man. Alcohol really has destroyed a lot of people, by the way. Drugs now, but Hammond Drive, a guy in the front of his house with a rifle, about to shoot at people on the roadway. And back then, we didn't have that armor stuff. We had all bulletproof vests. So we all get there, and everybody's, you know, getting positioned so that if we need to shoot this guy, we can. So it's dark. It's night. I park the car on Hammond Drive. I'm running up to the front yard of this house. I can see the guy with a rifle. Well, he's kind of doing this number. But we got to get close enough so we can take a shot. Back then, we only had handguns. Some of us had shotguns, but a shotgun's no good from a far distance. I'm running, it's dark, I got my little flashlight, and can't turn my flashlight on because then he would see me. So I see a tree, and the tree is like only about 20 feet from this guy, so I'm thinking, man, that's perfect. So I get behind this tree, and I'm standing there, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, this guy is 20 feet from me with a rifle. Folks, this tree was that skinny. It was a pine tree. And I'm looking at this pine tree now going, I'm dead. Just silly stuff like that. Yeah. This guy had a chance to kill me that night. He could have shot this arm, and as I'm doing this around the little skinny tree, my gun's out. But just silly stuff like that.
What happened?
We stood there for another 7 minutes or so. I guess he saw there were so many guns pointed at him that he dropped the rifle.
Great.
But he could have taken probably three of us out if he wanted to. But, you know, like I tell people, we all have a time and place where we go to heaven. That wasn't my night.
Yep.
Thank goodness, because here I am. My parents would have to be told that he stood behind a pine tree that was 6 inches. And here we are 20 inches here, but stuff like that, and so many times, you feel the presence of God. These people that you're fighting, physically fighting, you feel the presence of God, and it's almost not, I'm not that strong, I'm just a normal guy. You feel a certain energy, and that comes from adrenaline, too. But you feel this certain energy, and I've put handcuffs on people before that after it's all over and said and done, I'm thinking, how did I could not physically do that. I couldn't. Only one reason.
Yep.
And I don't make any, you know, excuses about that. The good Lord assisted me. He gave me that ability.
Was being in education, I wondered if you had any perspective on how cultures of schools have changed, or how you had to, I mean, you mentioned having an officer in every school in the county, and you know, what does presence look like that in schools, and what challenges do y'all face?
Now we're facing, the big challenge we face now is that a lot of parents at their homes, because of 2016, 17, 18, all the riots and all the, I mean, police brutality. It truly happened. A lot of parents, they don't mean to, but I think they talk really negative about law enforcement. Their kids pick up on that.
Truly.
Their kids look at us now like, man, you're just a cop that my parents talked about last week. Same thing with, you know, the parents. They go 80 miles per hour and 400. One day when that kid is 16, 17, guess how fast that kid's going to go? 80. And we see that all the time. We see teenagers now doing 85, 90 miles per hour on two-lane roads. I guarantee you, if you go back, that kid has watched mom and dad or both do the same.
Right.
Same thing happens now in this society where in certain communities, it has always been like, we've always been the negative of that culture we have. But now we're seeing it transcend over to just all communities where parents, they see what's on TV and they immediately pick up a negative attitude. Mm. And they talk to their spouses about it, and Billy Bob is sitting there watching TV or playing his, you know. But thankfully we got good deputies. We handpicked the deputies in the schools that will communicate with these kids. They just don't stand there at the front door going, you know, I'm the big bad sheriff. No, they communicate. They engage. We got several deputies last school year have been out. One deputy went out for 3 months because he hurt his leg playing kickball with kids. He shouldn't have been playing kickball at 50 years old, but he was. But we try to pick the deputies that will engage these kids so whatever they hear from the house, they will have this alternative to see, well, that deputy's not like that. You know, one bad doctor doesn't mean that every doctor in this county is bad.
True.
And that's what we're trying to fight right now is parents.
I don't believe it's just parents. I'm really so concerned about television, movies, the subjects of those movies. Like
games.
Fast and Furious. Yeah. And the games where nobody ever dies.
Nobody does.
You know, I don't know anything about the games, but...
They're alive again.
So I think that enters huge.
I've never seen so many suicides in my life than we've experienced the last 2 years. Society has pretty much given the green light on if you don't like this, take it, just go.
Yeah.
Guns. People hanging themselves. Kids are now killing themselves because they have no hope. That bothers me. I can't stop a 40-year-old woman from going into a closet, hanging herself. But you think a 14-year-old kid, somebody somewhere would see something that they could change. But suicide is now so easy. So that's our next biggest hurdle is mental crises for people.
Let's give Captain one more. Thank you so much. Today is Armed Forces Day. Two of our people were going to the barbecue at Beaver Toyota. How many of you served in the service?
Okay.
Thank you.
And thank you, Captain. So good.
I'll come back next month as just a participant.
Awesome. Well, we meet here every quarter, but
I got your schedule.
Yeah, and the other one we meet every week.
I know. Gentlemen,
thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. I think there's some more food left there, right?
Well, I'm sure there is. Right over
there. Thanks for coming, and I'll have a audio of this on the web. I'll send you an email on that if you'd like to listen to that. Thank you so much, and invite somebody next week.
Next, for the next one, not next week.